Sup, Thrill Seekers? I'm Dev.
And I'm Connor.
And you're listening to Mass Hysteria.
With a special guest.
A very special guest who we know you will come to love just as much as we do.
We love her. You will love her. She's the best.
Sup, Thrill Seekers? Dev here. Really excited today to share a conversation we had with Megan LeBron a few weeks ago. If you remember, to the end of 2021, our last episode, episode 52, was about the mysterious disappearance of Skylyn Budnick, a 21-year-old who seemingly vanished in 2008. Megan, her older sister, has done remarkable work to advocate for Sky and her case. Megan also has a wonderful community on TikTok where she not only talks about her sister's case, but also is raw and candid about her mental health journey. We are so happy and honored that Megan took time to speak with us, and we can't wait to share this conversation with you. Apologies in advance for any audio issues from the Mass Hysteria end, but we promise you Megan's audio is crystal clear, and she has incredible thoughts to share.
So, okay, so one of the first questions we wanted to ask is, and this might have been because when I thought about this question, it was after I listened to the episode you put out yesterday with your mom. But you talked about in the very first episode of the conversation with your mom about who like Sky was as a person, as a friend, as a daughter. And so for those who are just learning about her case or have only learned from like listening to what happened when she went to Japan, how would you describe who she was before that? Like who she was as a person, or any, do you have any childhood stories that make you smile when you think about her?
I remember her being like, as a child, I was kind of jealous of her because she got to stay home like with my mom a lot. Like this is when we were really little. So, and she'd go to Friendly's all the time. She was always ice cream. And she was so like bright and social, and she gave everybody hugs. Also loved to eat. You can feed her anything and she'll eat it. And I remember like us being really close. I remember us always, we would wear like the same the same outfits all the time. My parents, well, my mom always dressed us up matching. There would always be these like discount JCPenney's like sundresses or something. They were always ugly and always uncomfortable. But we always looked alike. We were like, I don't know. It was,
well, looking in the pictures, it seems like you do. You're similar. You were similar looking.
She might
Like, kind of definitely tell you're related. Style, yeah.
I know. I mean, when people ask for like age progression photos, I'm just like, right here.
She'll look like this.
Like how much different she would look.
Right.
But I think when she started going to school, something that happened, something that my mom always said, like as soon as any of us, like my older brother, me or Sky, when we went to school, like we came back strangers. I don't think like, you know, the current system that we have. It's conducive to like everybody, you know, it's like not everybody like can adapt, and none of us really, I think, adapted well. But Sky became more like introverted, and she didn't have a whole bunch of friends, unfortunately. I was 4 years older, so there's always a little bit of a disconnect, and I had a bunch of neighborhood friends. We grew up in like, we were on a cul-de-sac, and like it was just a neighborhood of like cul-de-sacs and like interconnecting streets, and like everybody was, it was like starter homes, and everybody had like, it was like new families, and we were all like, all the kids in the neighborhood were like kind of the same age, but Sky never really connected. So there was kind of a, like, she started feeling more of a disconnect. And the same thing with my brother. There was just like, they never really socially connected with their peers. So I guess like she's just started, I don't know, I feel bad at times because there was an age difference, and I was more into like hanging out with my friends and whatnot, And Sky kind of got left behind. Her and my brother hung out a lot because they loved playing video games. Yeah. So they spent a lot of time together. But my brother, I hung out with them more as a kid. Like, there was a point where it's just like we were just in two different worlds.
At that age, like, it feels really, you know, I mean, as adults, it's like, oh, 4 or 5 years is no big deal. But as kids, like, it's significant. A lot of things happen in 4 years, like an 8-year-old versus a 12-year-old. Like, that's a big.
Not
hanging out. Yeah. Exactly. And you don't like your siblings. What kid does?
Yeah. I talked with one of my friends, like, we were the same age, our siblings are the same age. And she's always like trying to reassure me not to feel bad about this. She's like, I hate my brother. I've always hated my brother. Like, we just, you know, like, you care about them, but yeah. Like, you're not always there. You don't always know what's going on. And I just know that Sky, probably when she got into middle school, she started to struggle a little bit more, you know, just being more social. Yeah, I felt like she just.
Kids get meaner too.
Yeah.
The older you get, the meaner kids get. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. And she like kind of lost that. She stopped like hugging everybody at a certain point. Aww. You know, she's became more distant. And I think when she found like anime and stuff, it really connected with her. So she like dived in. She just dove straight into that. And that's what she was about for a really long time. And she started doing like cosplay and she did some anime conventions. I remember she wanted to go to see Duran Gray in New York. And that's like a J-rock band. And she had never been to New York by herself. So I brought her there. It was like me and one of her friend Brittany. And it was just the three of us. And we stayed at like I think I was dating somebody in New York at the time and we stayed over there. Mm-hmm. But like, she loved that stuff. She would light up with that kind of stuff. And she fell into this like anime club at school, in college. And like, that's what she did. She did it to the point where like she neglected everything else, you know? Yeah. And ended up like failing all of her classes, unfortunately. And she started, I feel like there was some probably behaviors and some signs that we could have seen when my parents were pressuring her to get a job, just like a part-time job. She had worked at an amusement park for one summer and then worked at a grocery store. But I remember when she was working at the amusement park, it was, it's Lake Houndpounds. You guys know Lake Houndpounds? It's like haunted and everybody dies there, unfortunately. not to laugh at that, but it's still just like every year there's like something that happens there. But she was like afraid to advocate for herself and she was working at like a Dippin' Dots booth. Mm-hmm. And she said that like she would pass out like from the heat and like the lack of breaks and things like that. And she couldn't like stand up for herself.
Mm-hmm.
So I feel like there was just, she was trying to, you know, when you're a teenager and you're trying to figure out who you are and like what your place is in the world, I think she really struggled with that, unfortunately.
Mm-hmm.
And I think at a certain point, it just kind of like got the best of her. I don't know.
Yeah. That's
I think the cool thing about the anime and manga stuff is I feel like they have their own little communities. Like when I was listening to the episode when your mom and you were talking about it, like she did have some like friends that were like really into the same thing, which is I think kind of nice for people that who maybe have an interest that's different. Like you're saying, it's like the education system growing up in general, if you like have any kind of interest that doesn't, you know, isn't like playing football and being a homecoming king, like it's hard to.
And you can understand why she would, you know, when she finally found a community, would like neglect other things. She was like, oh my God, this is so great. You know, like you can totally understand why that would happen.
Yeah.
And you would just become so like in it because you're like, oh wow, I feel like accepted and connected for the first time. That's huge.
Yeah. Yeah. And she like, you could see that. Like she would change if she had like a good group of friends. And she always had this one friend, Shauna, who lived right down the street from us, and she would be over all the time. She was actually a year younger than me, but just really connected. Mm-hmm. And Shauna was over like every single day, every day. Mm-hmm. So it was like, but like still, there was like, Sky was so closed off towards the end. It was really.
Yeah, I remember your mom saying like in the interviews, like your mom, she would just go to her room, right? Like would just like come in, go to her room, like was doing her own thing.
But it's hard because like that can also just be like,
I know, a young busy young adult school, thing, like, or being busy with school. And if everyone else is busy with their own stuff, it's easy to look back, of course, and be like, oh yeah, we should have seen all of these things. But at the time, everyone else has their own stuff.
But see, like that's what everybody did in my house. Everybody just kind of retreated to like their own room, you know? Yeah. So it wasn't like out of the
normal
room, you know? Yeah. And if I know I kind of did everything in my power to kind of just leave the house, and it wasn't like a toxic environment, but it was, you know. So like I know when I got my first job like 2 weeks after I turned 16, and it was at Blockbuster.
I love it.
I miss Blockbuster. I just like video stores in general, like,
yeah,
miss that. And I worked there for like 6 years.
Oh my god,
I was the mayor of Blockbuster.
They used to, this is too good of a tidbit not to share, but the local Blockbuster, I don't think they were supposed to do this, but I never once paid for a movie because he said if you got an A on your report card, you could get a free movie. So I would just like each time. He would never charge me. I would just go in and be like,
I have an A.
Yeah.
That's awesome. But yeah, with me, like I always found a reason to not be home. So it was either work, school, friends. So like, yeah, we either went to our rooms or like left. And my brother and sister weren't that social. So they just stayed either in the basement playing video games or up in their rooms, you know?
How much older is your brother than you?
He's, I was born in 83. He was born in 81. So.
Okay, so one of the things about when Sky disappeared that we were curious is, did you ever talk with the authorities about how she was able to enter without a visa or like proof of a return ticket or anything like that? Because that was one thing we were like,
that's so weird.
Yeah, especially for, I feel like Asia, they are very strict about making sure you have
reasons to be there and ways to get out.
Yeah, basically they said, sometimes this stuff happens. Okay. And Sky was up at the gate or whatever, started crying or saying, you know, they could have just easily done it. It's just like a human nature response to just like feel bad for somebody and let them go. They said it doesn't happen often, but it does happen.
Sure.
Or,
like, you want to make a scene, they'll just let her. Yeah.
Yeah. And she could have just said, oh, I'm, you know, getting a ticket later, or somebody else is getting a ticket from me. There's a lot of like, but from what they said, like they're just like, yeah, it can happen. Not a lot, but.
But she was one of the ones that obviously it happened. Yeah.
Yeah. It's just like the way the dominoes fell. It just kind of. Yeah, I know.
That's wild.
Yeah.
I was just thinking like I've some of the like immigration for, I mean, I guess this wasn't for like Japan, but I've seen some of them for like India, Thailand. They like make you write out your exact address, like when you're leaving.
Because you went to India. Devin went to India
a lot in college. So I was like, oh, I'm wondering, as soon as I read it, I'm like, I wonder how she got in without like proof that she was moving on to the next stop.
That's why like we always go back to the scenario that maybe somebody helped her.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of little things that you're just like, something would trip her up, and like, how did it all seamlessly work out for her to just get in and just go where she went? Like,
it does make you wonder, especially like if you're like not a super social person. Like, I'm a pretty social person. I would be terrified, right? And like, I mean, if this and like that would be not, that would be out of character for me, but not like crazy out of character. But if it's like really out of character for someone and they aren't like a super social person, you would think like they would be like paralyzed. Like, how would they do that on their own?
I know.
Yeah.
And I think I was listening to the episode where you and your mom were talking about how you both think that someone helped her, and like I think I'm in that boat too, based on everything that you said. Did she ever have a screen name or anything that you were able to look at? Like, do you think she chatted with someone online or like MySpace or?
Her email was Steffi Sky. She used Steffi Sky for a few things. Crimson Rose was another one. I have a list of them and I've kind of gone through, but most of the websites like nowadays are kind of just, they're gone, you know? And like Mystic Rain, I think was another one. They're all very of the time.
Very 2000s.
But yeah, anything else I couldn't find. I know of one email. She had her school email. We were never able to get into that. But I feel like there must have been something else. But she took everything. She took her computer with her. She took her Nintendo DS with her. So anything that had any information on it, we don't have it. We couldn't trace or track.
Right.
You know?
Uh-huh.
So.
That's, yeah. I she had to meet someone over there. I can't imagine.
Like, know exactly what to take to make sure, like, things weren't traceable. Like, I mean, it's possible she just did it, you know? Like, I don't doubt that either. Like, she wasn't stupid. And if she was planning this before, because she bought
the ticket, right? Yeah.
There was another ticket that was purchased in January. And my mom talked about this because she's just like, she's in her own world sometimes. Like, I remember I used to dye my hair a different color like every week, and she never noticed. It was just like blue 1 week and then like yellow the next week, never picked up on it. I think it's just who she is, you know? Yeah. So when there was that phone call from like the airline saying that her flight was canceled or something, my mom, it didn't click with my mom. Because it was Sky. Sky wasn't like taking trips anywhere. And like, she was also going to be, if she had gotten accepted to the study abroad program, she was going to be going that year anyways.
Right.
So it kind of just like, my mom wasn't making things like kind of click.
Yeah.
But you know, I never was able to look back at her bank records either for January. Not that I can remember. I feel like we only were able to get April printed out and stuff like that, because that was a whole ordeal. Like, the bank didn't want to release Sky's information. So my mom was in there like throwing a tantrum and crying because it was like, oh, God. Whatever the privacy laws were.
Yeah, and she was, what, 21? So, like, they're like, yeah, you have an adult child. Like, I'm sorry. Yeah, but
you can't.
Yeah.
I know.
Yeah.
There's a lot of, like, obstacles when it comes to that.
Yeah.
So that was, like, a main thing. We wouldn't have been able to get as much help as we did if we didn't say she was suicidal. So it was, like, my mom wasn't convinced of that because, like, that's a long trip.
Yeah.
Like, this is a dream of hers that she wanted to go to Japan to live there, or I don't know. So it didn't make sense to have to go all that way just to kill yourself.
That's so, like a what? That's like a 15-hour plane ride, probably.
Yeah, it's long.
It's 20-something, I think, right? Like,
so
yeah, and you would have a lot of time to think about it too. Like, usually those, you know, I mean, obviously who knows, but usually you think like it's pretty quick, you know, they don't think about, you know, they make their plan, don't think about it, and get it done. Like, yeah, to make a plan like that would, not that it couldn't, but that's pretty,
but like extreme. 20 hours on a plane,
yeah,
thinking about that would be.
And you're right, like, if it was her dream, like, why would you want, like, you would think you'd just be so excited to go and see things that you wouldn't.
And like that kind of experience, like, I know just traveling in general makes me feel more alive. Like, I'm more present, you know, I'm thinking a little bit more clearly about like the things I'm going to be doing and all this stuff. Like psychologically, like, it doesn't line up.
Right.
So I forgot where I was going.
That's fine.
No, I don't know. I think I got lost in the thesis. Oh, about... I just got lost too.
Oh, we were just talking about, you know, when you tried to track her, how hard, you know, like, you got some bank records, some things. We were talking about the first flight and all that, and how, you know, it didn't initially get really connected. Did you know about the first ticket before?
Your mom knew, right, from the podcast?
My mom knew about it. but I think we looked through the emails a little further back in her account and were able to see that like another one was purchased. Mm-hmm. But yeah, like.
And like your mom was the only one that knew at the time.
At the time, yeah.
Okay, yeah, and didn't think of.
I mean, if, I feel like if that happened to me, I'd be like, "Oh, yeah, my daughter's going on study abroad, so it must be something related to that."
No, I mean, it'd be
yeah. And like the thing is, like the last family trip we had ever been on, like was Disney. I was 13, so this was like probably a decade ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before like the last like
airplane ride,
used or did anything with an airline. So like she's not like savvy like that. She doesn't, she's just like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't know the protocols and stuff.
Well, and if Sky was smart, like I'm sure it was easy for her to just like figure out a way to like, oh, it was blah blah blah. Like she brushed it off.
Yeah. She just brushed it off, said it was for a friend, like, or said she was checking like prices or something like that. Mm-hmm. So
have there been any updates since her DNA was entered into the Interpol system?
Nothing yet, because there is a backlog with Interpol. Because I know I was actually just checking their website to see if like the black notice or the yellow notice has been updated, and it still hasn't. So that takes a while.
That's exciting.
That was,
I love that TikTok.
Any news at this point, and the Japanese protocol is a lot different than the US protocol. And as soon as the Southington police realized that this was in Japan, it was out of their jurisdiction, and they kind of just stopped.
Yeah.
You know? So they weren't that nice. They weren't that helpful.
Mm-hmm. That's so frustrating.
Get something from them now is really helpful, because it's nearly impossible to contact the authorities in Japan over this.
Yeah.
You know? And I know the detective was having a hard time as well.
Mm-hmm.
Because nobody in Southington speaks Japanese. Like,
right.
Let's be honest, it's a small town. It's
what was Sky's fluency? Because I've heard you talk a little bit about like her fluency with Japanese. What do you think? Like, would she be like intermediate? Do you think she could have? I guess my question really is like,
I think
it would have been hard for her to get around.
I think my mom talked with her Japanese professor, and her professor was like, she's not going to be able to get around.
Yeah.
Just like straight up, just won't get around.
Mm-hmm.
But the thing is, like, I'm not too sure how much her Japanese professor heard her speak, because Sky was like paralyzed with fear during any like oral presentations or anything like that. Like that's what basically made Sky fail, because she refused to do them.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, that's tough.
It could have been better. She was watching like animes from like age 12, you know? Yeah.
And if she had, I mean, this is funny. My boyfriend, he watches all of these Chinese soap operas, and he actually could like, he can't speak it, like he's been watching them for years, so he can like understand Mandarin pretty well, and he can like say some phrases and things. He's like, I wouldn't, you know, obviously it's like it's about, you know, the emperors and things, so it's years ago, so it wouldn't actually translate to today, because, you know, the phrases that he's learning are like about like, you know, your
highness.
Yeah, your highness, or like the imperial noble consorts. So like, it wouldn't be useful today, but I mean, he could pick it up from that.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
so
yeah.
Absolutely, if she listened to it for years, why would she not be able to pick it up? And like, again, if she had some kind of connection, like if someone did help her, maybe she was talking to someone and they were helping her.
Because Sapporo is a very random place to want to go.
Yeah. Yeah, it made no sense. Once we got there, we were just like, no. Yeah. Like, this isn't it. This isn't the place, like, a 21-year-old from America comes. Like, it just isn't.
Right.
Just, like, it was, like, I mean, do you know New Britain, Connecticut?
Yes, yeah.
So my mom's like, it's, like, a New Britain, Connecticut. So it's just, like, kind of this, it's, like, a small city, but like there's nothing happening there. There's probably something once happening there, but not anymore. It's a lot of New England towns.
Oh, like, yeah. Like, it's where we live. Like, nothing happens. No one comes where we are. Like, yeah, we live near Boston. So, sure, people come to Boston. But, like, people don't come where we live to, like, sightsee. No one's heard of it. No one comes here.
Especially with Tokyo. That's, like, I know, like,
yeah, if she flew in there.
But why would she not have stayed in Tokyo?
I don't know. Because, like, when we had the press conference, we flew from Sapporo to Tokyo because it was, like, the fastest way to get things done. Mm-hmm. And we got to Tokyo, and me and my mom were like, this is awesome. Like, why would she not come here? It made no sense. And, like, I didn't know much about the Japanese culture, neither did my mom, and we didn't know, but we loved Tokyo. Was cool, but like, even if you know nothing about it, but Sapporo.
And so in terms of like the anime and like Japanese culture things, is there any like connection to Sapporo for that or not really?
Which I feel like that just is more evidence that you probably met someone.
I know. You know, most of the anime, like the manga that she had, my mom gave to the library. And you know, it honestly wasn't something that dawned on us at that point to like look to see through. And every manga that she had was in Japanese. So it's not like we knew what to look for.
Yeah.
Right.
So that's always been an issue too. Like I know. I've tried, I think, Duolingo to learn some Japanese, but I feel like there's like the stress about just learning that language that kind of has always put a mental block on it. Like I feel, it's a hard language to learn because you're also learning a whole new like character structure. And for some reason, like I just kind of like shut down.
Well, and like you kind of have a traumatic experience associated with it, so it makes sense.
It's always been difficult to like pinpoint if there was an anime or a manga or something that was set in Sapporo.
That's what I was like thinking. I'm like, I know like one anime show.
I know. I've like seen pictures.
But yeah, like... I'm trying to think of like why. This is maybe a question more about you, but we love your TikTok. Like I said, we, especially the, just when you even have like hiking conversations about like mental health. And I mean, we, you know, have not experienced a missing sibling, but I think everyone has some kind of like trauma that your TikToks kind of make you feel like you're not alone and like there's a place to process things. So I had a question, or I guess the next question is, do you have any plans for your podcast or your TikTok this year that you're excited about or anything that we can share? Obviously, we're going to share all your social medias and everything, but like anything that you're excited about that you're working on that you want to talk about?
To be honest, I'm excited to just get something posted once a day. And I'm excited if I can get a podcast together.
Well, you have kids too, right?
Your son is so cute.
He is so cute.
Thank you. He is cute. You know, like my, never, I won't go this way. I was going to say like, my husband looks a certain way and I look a certain way and it could have gone south really quick.
He got all the best things.
He's got all the right ones.
He's adorable.
No, he's so cute. But I'm sure that adds like a whole level of like, oh yeah, I'm trying to be a mom, working, everything
and
else.
And you're married to fitness. We like that.
Yeah.
Like honestly, I don't have the mental capacity to really plan too much. I'm kind of just, I'm like seeing where this takes me. Yeah. I'm trying to find inspiration in new areas. I know earlier in the year I said I was like setting up a YouTube page and like trying to like migrate things over there and with Instagram, and I have a hard enough time doing that. Like I kind of dropped the ball there because my son's 3 and I'm like the full-time caregiver when my husband's working, and like honestly the mental like
he's 3 and he doesn't nap according to your TikTok.
Like constantly, like we'll go to the park for like 2 hours a day.
Oh my god.
Zoo pass, and we'll go to the zoo or we'll go to like the science center, and then by the time it's like, you know, I have to feed him at times.
That is a lot. Like what do I do with this human?
Like I can't even feed myself. When I go on my hikes, it's either really early in the morning or it's like late at night. Yeah. Honestly, I don't have much plan.
No, don't worry. We're gonna share everything that you already created so far. I think I was more selfishly asking because I'm hoping the conversations with your mom will continue. I love those.
So I'm going back to Connecticut in June, and my mom said that she's down to do another one. One thing I'm really excited about is just kind of helping my mom through this.
Yeah.
So nobody in my family has ever gotten therapy because of this. They've never been to therapy in general.
Yeah.
So when I go home, it's pretty rough, you know, like mentally. Like I've been away, like in California for like 7 years now, and I feel like I'm a different person out here. Like I feel more free. I'm a bit more light. But when you go back home, it's like you kind of like fall back into your old roles. And but I'm hoping that
It's tough. She was
excited. Like the last, like one of like I sent her the episodes before I posted them. And she's like more light. She's really excited.
Oh good.
And she wants to do some more. And I feel like, yes, like I wanna, like if there's, I have gone through my like kind of evolution of healing, and there's always going to be more, and it's always going to evolve, and you have to always be on top of it. But I need to get my mom there. And if I can do that, that's my goal for the year.
that's a great goal.
That's a great goal.
About it.
Yeah.
Get my mom, like, give her her power back, you know?
Well, and I feel like your situation is, that's a really hard, like to have a missing sibling or a missing child that there's no closure for it still.
No.
Like, I mean, at least if you knew what happened, like you could, I mean, who knows what it is, but like, it could suck, but at least you would know. And like, you could maybe put some closure on it, but it's like, still like, even though you heal, it's like, oh, well, there's still this like scratch that's just never, it's not going to heal unless something. That's really hard.
Yeah. And like any other thing that goes wrong in the day, it's just like, it may seem small, but like, there's always this pain and this unhealed wound in you. That like,
yeah, I remember her saying that
the stupidest things. Yeah. So,
And I'm sure that's for your, you know, your brother and your dad too, you know, even though they're, even if they don't recognize it, I'm sure it's the same for them. I know.
Maybe this year I could talk with my dad. I have a hard time with it, but if I could do that and get something recorded there, I feel like I just want some like therapist or psychologist to like hear this, you know, like, maybe get some more insight on how like certain family dynamics work, because like all of us, every single one of us has like a different perspective on
what happened
during your trauma and how you're affected.
And it seems like there's like some huge communication blocks. Like there's not a lot of communication between you, which is so like, that is so isolating for each of them. But like, I mean, particularly for your mom, like how isolating is that, you know? And at least for you, you're kind of like, you know, you're figuring it out and, you know, working through it with other people. But I mean, even for you, that's still, it's so frustrating. Like these are the people that are the closest to this trauma and they can't communicate about it.
Even like my like aunts, cousins, whatever, like nobody talks about it. It's like Sky never existed. And it's infuriating. You know, I had an uncle who was mad, or just like, he kind of said it, he said it in a way that just made me so mad. When we went to Japan, he was like, oh, like you get to go to Japan before me.
Like, I'm going to Japan to look for my lost sister.
No, I mean, that was when it was happening. And I understand that the gravity of it didn't really hit, but it's still like,
No. Wow.
Yeah.
That's tough.
That's why I moved.
I don't blame you. You got to get out. Sometimes you do.
Yeah,
you
have to like count. I you know, sometimes I was like, I took a cue from Sky and I just, I left. You know?
Yeah.
So your parents are still in Connecticut? Do they still live in like the same house?
Same house.
Wow. Yeah.
When I go back, I drive Sky's car.
Oh my God. That is so bizarre. Wow.
Yeah, no kidding.
Time capsule.
Yes. It's like a 2005 Chevy Aveo.
Oh my God.
It's the most unsafe car. It's like literally made out of tin foil. Like when the wind blows, it like, it puts dents in the car.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
That's so funny.
Yeah, that's why. That is why. Also, it's really, I feel like it's really hard if you've gone through something like Connor's talking with his brother and like, I had a really hard time with some friends, like, who I lost at the end of college, and leaving that environment, like, of not having to think about, like, you know, someone where you just something traumatic happened, like really traumatic happened, it like gives you the space to grow and process it. So it's really hard if you're in the same environment that that happened in.
Yeah. Like me personally, I was going to be going down a really bad path if I had stayed. I had to.
Yeah.
Now you have the world's cutest son on the other coast.
And you know, my husband's name is Tim, and we started dating in 2007. So he didn't know Sky all that well because we were still like in a new relationship, but like, yo, that man is a saint.
He's been there through it all.
I saw that TikTok where people asking like what was different before and after. And he was like, I wasn't really here for that long before. And I'm like, it must be nice to have him to help process some of it. Like, obviously.
Yeah. He's seen the worst.
Yeah,
For him to stick around and be supportive. He's so funny. Like when I post, he's like, oh, my favorite TikToker just posted.
That's so sweet. Yeah, that's really sweet.
So
that's a big test that like early in a relationship.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
How long have you been married?
We got married in 2014. Okay. Yo, honestly, guys, I checked my Facebook page for my memories.
Like, oh yeah, it was this time.
I remember. So we've been together a while. He proposed after like 4 years, 3 years, and then I was like, no. I was just like, we can stay engaged forever, but like I couldn't get married because Sky wasn't there. It was like a huge, like, heavy thing. Like I felt like I couldn't move on.
Yeah.
Because Sky couldn't move on.
Yeah.
And eventually we just went on vacation and I got married in San Francisco City Hall.
Yeah.
And we told, like, honestly, like our parents had never even met at that point. Even after like 8 years together or something, it took me a while to like,
yeah, of course. Yeah.
That kind of like personal growth. And then, yeah.
You're still hoping because you
want to pause your life. You don't want them to miss anything. And that's really tough. That's really tough. Just like I was saying, like that whole, you can't totally heal, you know, but you have to learn, I guess, to just, to live.
Yeah. You learn to live. You just evolve with it. You let it become a part of you. It's okay. It's going to be there. It's like a new limb that you never asked for, sew a new sleeve on and you fit it in there. Like, you know, it's just, you make it work. That's it. It's just psychological evolution, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah.
One of the last questions we had was to people listening to Sky's, or I guess for people who are listening to Sky's story for the first time and they're really moved to do something, what's the best way that they can help?
I struggle with this one because there are times when I would love to ask to set up like a GoFundMe and ask for some support in that way. But I also, I think the simplest thing is just to like, remember her name, like remember her story and share it with a friend. Honestly, because I've been at a dead end for a really long time and asking people for financial support I feel guilty about that because I don't know if anything's going to come of it.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't want people to like waste money. Is hard. Like
I know.
My mom has only made like $18 after 28 years. Yeah. I don't feel comfortable with that. I feel like, you know, there's just something like that feels selfish or like slimy. And I don't ever want to come across like that.
Well, if you ever set one up, we will donate. Yeah. So we don't feel slimy about it at all. But I understand what you're saying.
But I think spreading the word really is powerful. Because I remember watching the TikTok where you like found out the next day that your video had like basically gone viral.
Mm-hmm.
And just how all of a sudden, you know, the people following goes up and they're sharing it. And like, we're kind of firm believers on like, at least what we've been working on so far. a group of people, if each person knows a little thing, sometimes they just have to kind of be pointed in the right direction to know that they like are together, make up like the missing piece of the equation.
Yeah.
So yeah. Social media is powerful.
It is. Yeah. It's definitely taken me by surprise. Mm-hmm. Like I never expected this. This just started off as like some mental health video diary because I had just quit my job. And I was like, I was always in the practice of staying really busy to like kind of quiet the mind, you know? So if I didn't have that, if I was just going to be with like a baby all day, that was going to drive me nuts. That was I wasn't equipped for it. So for it to go viral, for me to talk about Sky, like it's been huge. Yeah. It's been like life changing. But also like not, because most of the time I'm just still sitting alone, like talking to my phone. Like it, not too many people reach out.
Well, we were so touched. We look for, I also say my favorite TikToker has posted when you post a new video.
No, we love your videos.
We love what, and I feel like you're so relatable in the sense, in the way that you describe things, like even just outside of talking about Sky's case, like just when you're talking about mental health and like how can people process things differently. I just think that even if, like you said, even if you're at a dead end with Sky's case for a while, you're doing really positive work for people to just feel like they've found a place where they can process different things in their lives, even if they're different than what you're processing. So we really appreciate you. And we're like starstruck. We're like, hopefully Megan will, we would love to talk to Megan if she would want to talk to us.
Oh, of course. I mean, if people reach out and ask, I think there's been like,
TikTok doesn't let you DM, which is my downfall. I should have tried a different platform, but I wish they could, like TikTok could let you send DMs to someone.
I know. I felt like in the beginning, like when I started, like they had that, but now they don't. And I'm just like, that's why I felt like I needed to start like an Instagram and like a website and stuff. Oh, I forgot. I haven't updated my website.
No, we like your website. Yeah.
Oh, thanks. It's not updated though, guys.
Well, we can't tell the difference yet. Yeah. I'm sure we will now, but now that we know more.
And your podcast art.
I know, it's beautiful.
My husband did that.
Really? It's gorgeous.
Yes. I wanted like, because I wanted something cool. Like I wanted this just to be look cool. And it was like an homage to like a ghost world and something else that my husband drew from. And it was honestly just like a selfie I took and like an old picture that Sky had.
Great.
And
yeah.
Up. And I was just like, I just want us to look like cool girls.
Yeah. I love it. That's awesome.
Because why not? I know it's a sad topic, but why not fucking look cool too?
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
And it's kind of like, I mean, obviously we don't know your sister personally, but from what you said, I feel like she would think it was really cool to be portrayed in that kind of like neon graphic.
Yeah,
that's what I was doing it for.
Yeah, that's awesome.
Thank you so much, Megan. You have no idea how excited we are. It really meant a lot that you spent time on your Saturday with us.
I know. Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
No problem. I mean, you're giving me a break. Like my husband's still home watching my son. So thank you.
The world's cutest son.
Yeah, we'll set up a weekly weekly call. Like, we're really busy. You need to watch the baby.